bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Lawrence, and it's great to be back with you again to do another video, the second one of the year. And today is Tuesday, and it's January the 30th, 2018. And it's been a great week since the last time I've spoken to you. And despite any challenges that have come up, you know, because I know who I am in Christ, I'm really blessed. I can take things to the Father. I can cast my cares to Him. I don't have to carry the burdens of the things that the world throws at us, you know. And a lot of people take the burdens of the thing that the world throws at them, whether it's your job or your family or relationships or your finances. You know, it's how you position yourself towards those things that will determine whether you're going to be blessed or whether you're not going to be blessed. But the truth is, you're always blessed in Christ. God has really blessed you, and He's given you everything that you need to live above this world that you can overcome. But it all depends upon your focus and your attitude. What do you do when you're challenged? You know, do you run to your neighbors? Do you complain to your partner? Or do you tell everyone your problems? You know, this is not a good thing to do, especially if you're a believer. And we're to be witnesses of the power of God. And sometimes we forget these things. And if we're not keeping ourselves in the Word, and we're not keeping ourselves strong with what God has made available to us in Christ, then we can really get bombed out. And last night we had a prayer night. It was me, Kim, Danny and Amber. And from my visit to Germany in January the 3rd, I come back and I was very inspired to encourage these guys that we get together to pray for specific needs that are there, to also pray for the outreach of the Word of God, to pray for the fellowship, to pray for the believers in Europe and the world, and for the movement of God's Word, that the Word can have free course. And for the Word to have free course, it's got to have free course in us, and it starts with us as individuals. And, you know, God is truly taking care of us, and sometimes we just let the circumstances bombard us and overtake us. But I'm encouraging you today not to do that, and the way that you not do that is to walk in your authority that God has given you. You know, we can pray to God for these specific things, but there's also actions that we need to take. There's responsibility on our part, and God has delegated power, authority to us, and we're the ones that are to use that authority. Sometimes we're praying to God for Him to do things when He's given us the power to use His authority to overcome certain obstacles and situations. And we have to realize that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, mights and dominions, which God has put Jesus Christ way above. And I want to go to the book of Ephesians today, because let's get back to the Word. Let's see what the Word of God says about these things. Let's remind ourselves of who we truly are and what God has done. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So this is addressed to the church at Ephesus at that time when Paul was addressing them, and it's also addressed to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And if you've got the Spirit of God in you, if you're looking to God, then you're the faithful in Christ Jesus. If you're born again of the Spirit of God. Verse 2 says grace, and we know this word means favor. So it's favor be to you, and peace, which implies prosperity also, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ is saying peace to you. And if we're looking at our circumstances, if you haven't got no peace, then you need to come back to the Word of God so that you can get that peace, so that you can have that joy and peace in believing. In verse 3 of Ephesians, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And this really could be translated in the heavenlies. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and we should be without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, His favour, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. So you're accepted before God. You're accepted before the Church of God. Okay, if you're born again of the Spirit of God. It says, in whom we have redemption through His, Jesus Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. That in the dispensation or administration of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are seen in heaven, both which are in heaven and which are in earth in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So we've obtained an inheritance. We're joint heirs with Christ, we're heirs of God, and everything that God has made available in Christ is ours. Now we're born again, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, your wholeness, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Spirit of God in you is sealed in you. You've been clothed with power from on high. And everything the Father has, he's clothed you with. And this is just wonderful truths in this Ephesians. If we just read it, I'm just reading it, but take your time and go through it yourself. It says, which is the earnest of his inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possessions unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is the prayer that Paul prayed. It's a wonderful prayer, and you can also pray this prayer. You know, when you get up in the morning, how do you start your day? You know, when we get up, what do? We put on our clothes. We get washed first, right? We take a wash, and then we put on our clothes. And so we need to remember that we're clothed with that Spirit of God. We need to remember what God has made available. And it's good to remember to wake up and thank God for who you are in Christ. Thank God that you are righteous because of Christ. You are justified because of Christ. You are redeemed because of Christ. Remind yourself of who you are and thank God for these things. Thank God that it's by his power and by his Spirit that you're going to live and move and have your being, that you're free to move, and that no matter what is in front of you, that you are an overcomer, that God has the solutions, the answers, and he has a way out of any situation that you're in. And this is the prayer that Paul prayed, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, God wants you to know that you know that you know. He doesn't want your eyes darkened. He doesn't want your understanding void of understanding of what he's made available and who you are now, the authority you have, the power that he's given to you and that he wants you to use. And it says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. God wants you to know what the hope of his calling is and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. So God, when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead and when he ascended him, he sat him down at his own right hand in the heavenlies. But it gets better. So Jesus Christ not only was crucified, buried and risen, but he was raised up and made to sit at the right hand side of God. So Jesus Christ is at the right hand of authority, okay, and he's making intercession for you right now. He's at work, he's busy, he's not just sat there, he's doing the Father's good pleasure, and he makes intercession for you. And so he's rooting you on whatever situation he's you know, praying to the Father for you, so that your faith's enlarged, that you go to God, that you realize who you are, that you realize that you're not entrapped by the systems of this world, but you're actually free. And it says in 1 Timothy that far above all principalities, God has put Jesus Christ far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. See, when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Jesus Christ got back the keys from death and hell. He defeated Satan, and God has put Satan under his feet. He's put everything under the feet of Christ. And the greatest thing is that he seated us with Christ. When Christ sat down, so did we. And God has delegated to the church authority, and it's up to us to use that authority while we keep our eyes on God, while we're focused. And even though we have this authority, we still have to be aware, we still have to be sharp. Our seated position is in Christ, and in this world as it plays out, we got to be sharp and vigilant, because there is an enemy and he walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So we got to be on guard. And Ephesians 6 covers these things for the believer. Even though we are seated and our dependency is upon God and not our ability, we still need to be aware of what the enemy's up to, and we need to put him in his place. Take authority over the situations that are going on in your life. Take authority over your lack. Take authority over your bad relationships, your sickness, your health. God has provided everything in Christ. Unless you take the word of God to you, that sword of the Spirit, and you start declaring God's word, then you're going to stay where you are. But God helps you as you go to him, as you're humble, as you resist the devil, as you put the word on your mind, as you claim those promises of God. He's going to help you. He's going to energize you. He's going to give you the backup. And all the authority that God has given you has the authority of God behind it. So he's not going to leave you where you are. He's backing you right up when you stand upon that word. He's making sure his promises are fulfilled and come to pass. But let's get on to the next great bit of this. The greatest bit is that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and he's seated him at the right hand side of God. And Ephesians 2, first one, it says, and you, put your name right there, have he quickened. And this is not actually in any text, and it just means to read like this. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We didn't have the Spirit of God. We were lost like every unbeliever is lost today. But we received the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. We received the gospel. And it says, where in times past you walked according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Okay, so his might, his power, his dominion, which God has put Jesus Christ above and which we're above, is above us, is the systems of this world operating as well, but we're above that. Okay, and he, as the God of this world, he's working in this, is that spirit that is working in the children of disobedience, those that haven't received the good news. So Satan is working in them, he's influencing their minds, he's discouraging them, he's keeping them away from the knowledge of the truth. And that's why we should speak the gospel, right? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. It opens up the eyes of those that have been blind by Satan through the systems of this world. First three, it says, among whom also we all had our conversational behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But we're not now. Why? Because God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By his favor you are saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. See, we're sat right now at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. And God has delegated to you authority. And that authority that you have is over the authority of Satan. So when sickness comes, you can take authority over that. When poverty comes, you can take authority over that. When calamity comes, you can take authority over that. And see, these things don't come from the true God, but it comes from the God of this world. And the devil cannot hold in bondage a believer that is aware that he's seated in Christ. Are you aware that you're seated in Christ? I encourage you, every morning when you wake up, remind yourself that you are seated in Christ, that you're seated in heavenly, far above all principalities, powers, might and dominion. So as believers, we need to always be aware that we're seated in Christ in the heavenly places, and that the devil is a defeated foe under our feet. So we must be convinced that no word of the enemy can prevail against us when we're doing and carrying out what God shows us to do. If you go to Colossians 2, chapter 2 is another great record just to verify these things. And it says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he, God, quickened together with him, having forgiven us all trespasses. So there's no need for you to have condemnation of the things that you've done in your past, because God has forgiven all those things. And he's raised you up, blotting out the handwritings of ordinance that were against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing them over in it. So we've been, you know, released and delivered from the power, the authority of Satan. Now we're children of God. And that's why we can overcome him. That's why greater is he that is in you than he is in this world. But there's a part you still have to play. Even though you're seated, there's still a part you play. And we go to Ephesians to look at that part. And we're to be, you know, God has equipped us with his spirit, but we also need to equip our minds with the truth of the word of God. And when you've got a combination of that spirit of God and the word of God living in you, then you're powerful. When you start to declare who you are in Christ, then you release that authority. See, we release our authority through our believing, and what we believe in our heart and say with our mouth will come to pass. So when you've got that word deep in your heart and you're saying what God says about the things, then you can truly bring to pass God's solutions, God answers in the situation. So in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So God is asking you to be strong in him. Right, not in yourself, not in your understanding or your might or your ability or your efforts, okay, but we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of the devil." See, Satan's always looking for a way to try to dethrone you, just like Adam. God put Adam in the garden to keep it, to guard it, right? And he didn't guard it, and he lost his dominion, he lost his authority. God gave Adam dominion and he lost it. You can check that out in Genesis 2:15, I believe it is. So God said, "Adam, now there's the garden, you've got authority over everything there, and I want you to dress it, and I want you to keep it, I want you to guard it." And if you look at that word keep it, it means to guard. So he was to guard against. Okay, and Adam didn't do that, so he lost that authority, hence Satan become the god of this world. But Jesus Christ won that authority back, and it's just really wonderful when we put the whole thing together. And verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." See, I'm not wrestling against the neighbor next door if he has a problem with me. There's spiritual influences going on, okay? If there's lack coming in, it's not God's fault, it's not anybody else's fault. The enemy is trying to stop the abundance of God coming to you. The enemy's trying to ruin relationships, and people that are not walking with God, he can use and manipulate to do that. But when we're walking with God, then we can stand in our authority, we can recognize what's going on, we're sharp, we're sober, we're on the ball, and we know where the attack's coming from, and we fight the spiritual battle with the spiritual means, not with the five sense means. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high," or from on high. "Wherefore take unto you," so you've got to do something, even though you've been delegated that authority, spiritual authority, you still need to clothe yourself with the word as well, your mind, you clothe your mind. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Once you've done everything that you know to do, according to the word of God, according to the revelation that God's put in your heart as well, once you've done all that, then you just stand, you don't budge, you know that God's going to come through for you. It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth," having that truth of the word on, "and having on the breastplate of righteousness," believing, "and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Be ready to speak the word, be ready to communicate that word. "And above all, take the shield of faith," see, it's your faith, "wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. So we've got to be on guard. And supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. See, Satan wants to discourage you. He wants you focused on your circumstances, your situation, so that you don't speak the word of God. He wants to get your mind so distracted that you don't even recognize who you are in Christ, because you're a new creation in Christ. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 20 says, for which I am ambassador in bonds, therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. See, we ought to speak God's word, not only to other people, but we need to speak the word of God over our life. We need to recognize who we are. We need to take our position. God has placed us there. We're already there, but we need to recognize it so we can operate in that position. If someone has been made King of England, if I'd been made King of England and I didn't know it, how would I operate in its authority? I wouldn't, would I? Because I'm not aware that I'm the King of England. But once I'm made aware, I take all steps to position myself. So God has positioned you in your heart and mind. Position yourself. Come into agreement with God. Say what God says about you. And God is going to deliver you. He's going to open up doors for you as you go to him, as you go to his word, as you keep humble in your heart, as you resist the devil. Don't look at the circumstances, guys. Don't look at the circumstances. Satan wants to discourage you. But God is a God of encouragement, and he's showing you what we need to do. We need to set our affections on things above. Why? Because that's where we're seated. So I just really wanted to share these things with you, just encourage you this day. And again, so God bless you, and look forward to speaking to you soon again. Love you. Bye-bye.